This morning, we are going to look at a scripture from the book of John. And it's a message today on what it means to follow Jesus. Now, I know that sounds pretty straightforward, a message on what it means to follow Jesus. But I believe that every message, and in some way, is about really what it means to follow Jesus. As we begin the new year, today is already the 17th of January. More than half of the month is already gone. We need, it seems, always to be reminded of a few things, especially from this story that tells us about how Jesus' public ministry began and what it really means to be a disciple of Jesus. Now, if you're reading along at home, I would suggest, or we should start really at the beginning of John. It's a fast read to get us up to speed on what happened here. So I'm going to give the Cliff Note kind of version this morning for us to get to the important set of verses that we're going to take a little deeper dive into. You know, the book of John begins with a simple statement that is a deep statement, enough for, I'm sure, a number of sermons. It begins, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So just let that sink in for a few minutes this morning. "And all things were made through Him. Nothing existed without Him. In Him was life, and that life was the light to all mankind." So then along comes a John into this story, calling out into the darkness, testifying to the light. John recognizes Jesus instantly, and if you're following along, we're in verse 29 now, and John is giving testimony that this person, this Jesus, is God's chosen one. And we'll talk some more about testimonies next week, so be sure and stay tuned. And with this, Jesus' public ministry begins. Next, two of John's disciples decide to follow Jesus, and one even convinces his brother Simon Peter to follow, and Jesus calls him Peter. So this brings us to today's passage. So read along with me in John as we have the words before you. We start in chapter 1. We're going to read verses 43 through 51. "The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, 'Follow me.' Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, 'We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.' 'Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?' Nathanael asked. 'Come and see,' said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, 'Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit.' 'How do you know me?' Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, 'I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you.' Then Nathanael declared, 'Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel.' And Jesus said, 'You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree, but you will see greater things than that.' And he added, 'Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me, church? Heavenly Father, we come this morning with open hearts to hear these words again. Follow me. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and minds open to receive this morning your word. Imprint again upon our lives your word, O Lord, and draw us closer to you. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So from the beginning of this passage, there is such truth. Right from the start of the story, we hear that Jesus found Philip. Now, if you go to any bookstore or Google it, I suppose, you will find so many books in so many different ways that people describe that they've spent their lives searching to find some sort of spiritual meaning, always looking to others, to teachers, to help them decide who to follow. But for us, it's really not an option. Jesus found Philip. Just like Jesus found David, or Jesus found Ron, or Missy, or Chris. Jesus found you. It's really that case from the beginning of Scripture. In Genesis 3, Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit. We all are familiar with the story. They realized that they were naked and they hid. And God's taking a stroll through the garden, and in verse 9, the Lord calls to the man, "Where are you?" From the beginning of time, God has been seeking us. And more importantly, he's been finding us. He chose us. And that's the important thing, I think, for us to remember. And it should help to keep us grounded. It should be a constant reminder for us to be humble before our God. He found us. So once Jesus finds Philip, he has a simple, single command. Follow me. Follow me. Now, I read a story while researching for today's message, and it goes something like this. So there was a youth worker that was teaching about discipleship. So he was being asked a number of questions by his youth. One young lady asked him, "Can I be a Christian and still have a boyfriend?" He considered it and he said, "No." Another youth asked, "Can I be a Christian and still go out to the club with my friends?" Considered it for a moment. He said, "No." Well, one of his fellow workers was pulled him aside and said, "Well, gosh, can I still be a Christian and maybe have an occasional drink?" He said, "No." But he went on to explain, there really isn't anything inherently wrong with having a boyfriend or going out with some friends or if you're of a legal age, having an occasional drink. But there is, on the other hand, something wrong with the question that starts with, "Can I be a Christian and fill in the blank?" The question itself suggests that we want to hold something back. Some part of our lives that we don't want to give over. We really just want to keep it for ourselves. A good friend of mine would call this the spot in the room. You know, that place that we want to keep to ourselves. You can have all the rest, but I just want to keep that one little spot. Friends, when Jesus calls us to follow him, there's no other words after that. There's no "follow me and" or "follow me but." There's no get out clause. He either must be Lord of all, or really you're making him Lord of none. Church, following Jesus is a radical commitment that demands our all. Now, we will get it wrong sometimes, and we'll fall short, but we must have the intentionality of a radical discipleship. It must always be out in front. And we go on in the story, and next we see that what Philip did once Jesus called him. I mean, he immediately went and got baptized, joined the church, began a course on Christianity, right? No. No, in fact, What he did do was immediately go and find his brother. He didn't pass go, didn't collect $200, no delay, no tarrying, no waiting. He went. The first rule of being a disciple of Jesus is as simple as his call, and that is to tell others about Jesus. You know, we get caught up in all the things that we have to do before we can tell someone about Jesus. I mean, is there really any reason? Philip didn't need any learning. He wasn't a great theologian. He didn't need anything other than the passion for his Lord. So then we get to Nathanael's response. Not exactly the great rejoicing, right, that we wanted to hear. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Wow. I mean, does anyone else have a brother or a friend like that? Hey, guess what? This exciting thing happened. Oh, well, great, but sometimes when we tell folks about Jesus, we're going to be met with some cynicism or even rudeness. Or worse, apathy. But as disciples, we have to be ready to keep knocking, to stay at it. Philip didn't get into a theological discussion with Nathanael about the merits of Nazareth or its geographical region or its place even in the salvation history of Israel. He simply said, come and see. When it comes to evangelism, that is all we need to do, is keep saying, come and see, and let our God do the rest. Now, we do have to do our part in that, in the come and see part. I mean, our part here is to be the radical disciples that we are inviting others to come into that relationship with. We have to be the example. We have to be inviting and warm, extend the grace that's extended to us. And folks, they've got to see the difference in our lives that a relationship with Jesus makes. You know, our worship needs to be an experience that is inviting to others to come into God's presence. And we must be sure that Jesus is at the center of us and that he is in all corners of our lives, no spots. They must see Jesus' reflection in us. Finally, in the story, we see that being a disciple means receiving peace and blessings from God. Jesus' response to Nathanael is key here. When Jesus says, saw Nathanael coming towards him, he said of him, here is an Israelite of whom there is no deceit. And Nathanael replied, where did you come to know me? Jesus answered, I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. So a couple of things here. First is the word see. So there's different Greek words for the word see. So Philip had said to Nathanael, come and see. And the Greek word here used is the one that means a physical seeing. So come and see. But twice the word is used with Jesus in this passage. Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, as well as I saw you under the fig tree. And on those occasions, the Greek word that is used is much different. The word used here in Greek has nothing to do with physical sight, but it speaks to the spiritual perception instead. Jesus saw Nathanael coming. He saw his heart. He saw his heart as he approached and saw for him, he saw in him who he truly was. And he saw him under the fig tree because he knew him before their personal encounter. You see, friends, his hand had been on Nathanael's life before this moment. It had been there for eternity. Yes, Jesus had found Nathanael just as he had found Philip. And though both Philip and Nathanael thought that they had found him, he really had found them. And brothers and sisters, there should be a great sense of peace that we can draw from the knowledge that God has always been here and always will be here. He's had his hand on our lives long before we became aware of him. The second thing is the fig tree itself. And your homework this week is to look at these three scriptures. 1 Kings 4:25. 1 Kings 4:25. Micah 4:4. And Zechariah 3:10. These are the other three times that the phrase or illustration of the fig tree is used. And in each illustration, a person who was living in peace with and with God's blessing is mentioned. Jesus says to Nathanael, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." He was living an obedient life. He was living a life in total obedience to God. And he knew the blessing and peace that came with that obedient life. He was leading a life truly in line with the Jewish law. But Jesus was calling him to a deeper place when he said, "Do you believe I, because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree, you will see greater things than these." Jesus was offering more. And he still is offering more. As Christians, we know that peace and blessing only comes from our relationship with Jesus. The more we allow Jesus to become center of our lives, the deeper dive that we take with our radical discipleship, the more peace we will know in our hearts. It's a simple story, really, but radical discipleship. We didn't choose God. He chose us for all eternity. We are called as disciples to call others to this radical life, to his lordship. We cannot be discouraged because we are qualified to help others and to call others to come and see. To see a life of peace and blessing where he knows everything about us, even our deepest needs. And when we follow him, friends, it will be like he says to Nathanael, we will see heaven opened up. Follow me. Come and see. I offer you this morning this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.